Another voice now from the shadow of Russia's troubled history in Eastern and Central Europe. What has leader Vladimir Putin set in motion with his talk of Russian territorial rights and destiny in Crimea and Ukraine? Poland has asked NATO to station 10,000 troops on its territory this week as what it calls a protective measure. Eva Hoffman grew up in Poland and Ukraine, this territory of the moving borders and changeable maps of the 20th century. Poland spent much of that time in the orbit of the Soviet Union. Hoffman's parents barely survived the Holocaust in a small town outside of Lviv in Ukraine. In her life of exile from Ukraine to Poland to Canada, the U.S., and now London, Hoffman has never forgotten those days of fear and uncertainty. Today, she's an author and professor at Kingston University in London. Eva Hoffman tells us that Russia even today retains the power to remind people of Eastern Europe that everything they have gained since the fall of the Soviet Union might be swept away in an instant.
I grew up in post-war Poland, so therefore in the Soviet sphere. And the Soviet Union basically controlled the countries of Eastern Europe. And it was the great enemy. But basically, the countries of Eastern Europe had been given to the Soviet Union, or the Soviet Union swooped them up by the Yalta Agreement. And the lives of, you know, millions of people were affected for decades to come. So the whole notion of simply, you know, annexing territory, appropriating territory, brings up really very terrible associations, very dark associations.
Well, this goes back before your time, but certainly most people in the West have no notion that the Bolsheviks fought a war on the eastern border of Poland, and that that whole eastern front of Ukraine and Poland was in play for years and years after after World War I. Do people have memories of the moving map and a sense that these lines can be redrawn at the whim of someone like a Vladimir Putin?
Oh, goodness, yes. You know, I mean, the joke in that part of the world was that you could stay in one place and change nationality three times in your lifetime in the 20th century. And this was true of many people. I mean, my parents grew up in the Polish part of the Ukraine. So I had a very kind of, you know, palpable sense of connection of the existence of that part of the world, even though I didn't go there until the late 90s. But they lived in a small village, a shtetl, as it was called in Yiddish, in which the population was evenly divided among Poles, Ukrainians, and Jews. And in 1940, towards the end of 1944 and 1945, when it was clear that that part of the Ukraine would become part of the Soviet Union, they made their way west. They made a trek westwards towards Poland. It was a very smart move on their part. But the sense of that lost part of Poland was very powerful. And, you know, there are poems written about it. There is an absolutely beautiful kind of keynote poem called To Go to Lviv, Lviv being the Polish name for what is now called Lviv, which is a poem about a kind of lost city. So it was very vivid. It was very palpable.
You know, if you go to Warsaw today and feel the sense of westernization that's taken place in Poland that, you know, in comparison to a lot of places in Europe is doing pretty well, you get the sense that Poland's escaped. Poland is out of that Russian orbit, has stepped away from that 20th century legacy. Do you agree? And if not, what does your gut tell you?
No, I mean, I think that Poland has been the most successful in becoming what they very much wished for, which in their phrase was a normal country. Poland has become a European country and, you know, has a voice in Europe and quite a bit of credibility in Europe. The other countries of Eastern Europe cannot be said to be in the Soviet sphere either. I mean, they have become, several of them, of course, are now part of the European Union. So, yes, they have escaped. Of course, but you know, the sense of Russian danger is there.
Finally, before we go, historians have said to us that Vladimir Putin appears to be deliberately harping on or evoking some of these fears of danger that you described by really playing up meetings between the Russians and Secretary of State John Kerry, in that it looks in the Russian media like this is another Yalta, and that that message falls very fearfully on ears in places like Ukraine and even Poland. Do you get that sense?
Well, I must say I haven't thought of it that way. I mean, it seems to me that possibly what is involved in these meetings with Kerry is that Putin is trying to kind of pacify the West while he is, you know, massing his troops on the eastern Ukrainian border, for example, and, you know, while he is getting ready to do whatever he wants next, again, possibly with the sense of impunity, and again, because the West has not been vigilant enough. So really, this is the sense I get from here, in the sense of the possibility of the new Cold War, which I suppose does bring up shades of Yalta.
So if Putin were to say to the West, or to say to Eastern Europe, they're going to sell you out. Don't look to Washington and Berlin and London. They're going to sell you out. Look at them. Is that credible?
Well, I don't think he would be listened to. I don't think he would be listened to. But I think the kind of the impotence of the West is very worrying. And I do think we need a stronger response. But I think that what some people in Poland are wishing for, are thinking about, is that if the Ukraine, the non-annexed Ukraine, manages to modernize itself sufficiently, that an alliance between Poland and the Ukraine would be very important, and that it would be precisely a kind of antidote and a counterpoint in Eastern Europe to Russian power. It would be a kind of, you know, a kind of mediating power within Eastern Europe. I think it would be very good if that were to happen.
Once again, Ukraine is in the balance in this very fluid zone in Europe. Eva Hoffman, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Eva Hoffman, author and professor at Kingston University, London, emigrated from Poland to Canada at the age of 13 in 1959. Who's dubious about Data?
Data, I mean, come on. He's just a pale shadow of Spock.
Takedowns from our defenders of Mary Richards, Data, and Hawkeye Pierce battle it out to choose the ultimate TV great. All the ugliness coming up.